grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful, multiply. And I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. This is our text. I came across the story of a young pastor that based his Sunday morning children's message on the 23rd Psalm. So he had all the children set him around him in the chancel, and he began to tell them about how kind of stupid sheep are and how they really need someone to watch out and care for them because they easily wander off because their head's down eating the next clump of grass, and before you know it, they're separated, and separated, that's not a good place because they really don't have a defense mechanism. And he finally says, you know, all of you children are sheep. He goes, and who is your shepherd? As he raised his arms to the side, indicating that it's obviously him. And nobody said anything. Until a little boy says, Jesus is the shepherd. The young pastor was obviously caught off surprise by the little boy. And he says, well then who am I? And there's another long pause until he says, I guess that makes you the sheepdog. Before we go any further, I think it's good to review a little bit about sheep, and I can do so from personal experience. I worked with sheep when I was in high school, and sheep, on the one hand, there's a farmer that once said, there's dumb and dumber than there's sheep. If you would say a sheep is dumb as a rock, you would be insulting the rock. Sheep are really not all that intelligent. They have this ability to wander off. They're always kind of finding their way into trouble, and they have no real built-in mechanisms of defense. They're simply, we call them lunch. If they get in trouble, they're usually lunch for something else. And sheep, they're just not real. They're cuddly and woolly and all that stuff, but they're just not really all that smart. But if you look during biblical times when it comes to sheep, sheep were important. Not only was wool important for a clothing material, the meat was important to sustain people, and then they were also important for the use in sacrifice in the temple. And so sheep had a really central purpose in the nation of Judah. And so to be a shepherd was kind of a big deal. Although they were kind of looked down as grimy and dirty, all that stuff, but be a shepherd, you had to be brave above all things. You're with your flock 24/7, 365. It was your job to protect and watch over them. And that whole 23rd Psalm about leading them to the clear water and the green pastures, that's your gig. You have to do it faithfully. If a predator comes within the midst of the flock, you can't just drop your staff and take off running, or they'll be scattered and certainly destroyed. And so therefore, to be a shepherd was important. But as I look through Scripture, I see that Jesus Christ refers to you and me as sheep in numerous places. You saw it in the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus got to that so-called desolate place, and all those people were gathered, and Jesus looked upon them and had compassion as sheep without a shepherd. You remember what he told Peter after his denial? He told him to go and feed my sheep. But when Jesus compares us to sheep, he's not exactly giving us a compliment. Because the reality is, like I said before, sheep are a little bit, shall I say, stupid? Sheep are prone to wandering. Sheep need constant care. They need someone to watch out over them all the time to protect them from all harm and danger. For without a shepherd, the sheep are surely to die. Which brings us to the Old Testament lesson for the day. You have Jeremiah proclaiming a word that comes from the very mouth of God. Such declares the Lord, is said numerous times in our text. And he's prophesying to the area of Judah. And Judah, the situation there is fairly bleak, to say the least. God had given them kings to watch over the temporal affairs of the land. They were protect them from all their enemies and provide safety and security. And then they also had shepherds, the priests, that were there to provide for their spiritual needs, to assure them of God's forgiveness, life and salvation, and all that comes through that. But what had happened is the kings and the priests had become lax. if not completely lazy and immoral in their jobs. In fact, they begin to usher idol worship into the very temple of God, and it was a practice that was not only permitted, but also encouraged by the king. In doing so, these supposed shepherds, the guardians of the flock as they were literally ignoring the wayward sheep, and they were being squandered and running off into all kinds of danger. By the time you get to the prophet's prophecy for today, you find the area of Judah literally being infiltrated by the Babylonians. The walls of the city of Jerusalem now lay in ruin. The temple has been destroyed. Many people have been killed. They are beginning to be carted away to Babylon, where they'd live in slavery, or cultural slavery anyway, for some time to come. The king of Judah, King Zedekiah, not pronounced right, I'll get it. But the point being was, he is just kind of a figurehead at this time. He had real no power. He was kind of a figurehead, an apron string of the Babylonian Empire. And the city of Jerusalem, as I said, was completely destroyed. People were really unsure of the future. What's going to happen next? Is there security? What's happening? And then the questions begin to come out, is God still love us? Is God the one that made all these promises of a Messiah? Is he still willing to fulfill that promise in spite of all that we have done? Does God even care about us? From our perspective, right here and right now, it doesn't seem as if God cares for us at all. It was in the midst of that dreary situation that God sends the prophet Jeremiah to the nation of Judah to begin to proclaim his law. His first law was this: woe to the shepherds, the priest, the king. Woe to you who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people: you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. The nation of Judah had now been scattered because of their sin, their idol worship, all following after the false shepherds of the day. They had been led away into captivity. They were the ones who had, the priests were the ones who had failed to give God's warning from his word. The priests were the ones of that day had sent the other prophets away, especially Amos from last week. The land cannot bear your words any longer. Go somewhere else and eat your bread and prophesy, because we really don't want you here. The very men that were responsible for the looking after the flock had not done their job. And now the nation of Israel was scattered, and it seemed to be in such a hopeless situation. But God wasn't done. Indeed, now that the consequences of sin were apparent, there seems to be no hope. And so God then gives them a promise. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock from all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. God's word is, better days are coming. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope, because the Word of God is full of promises, and they're promises for you in spite of your sin. In spite of your falling away, God will still fulfill His word to you. But more importantly, even though it looks as if there is no future at all, God has a better way. God says these words: I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this will be the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Do you know where that text appears within the church year? It appears during the season of Advent. The season of the church year, when we declared that Christ is coming into the world. The king of which God is speaking of is his own son. Whereas all of Zedekiah the king and all of his rulers that had gone before, their kings will end, Jesus' kingdom will never end. And as those kings would once sit in their palace, enjoying the frills of their office, not concerned so much about the people of all, this king comes to live among his people. To be born in a stable in Bethlehem, to walk the dusty streets of Palestine, to live a life among the very subjects he has come ultimately to rule. That's why in the book of Hebrews we hear those words, we have not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. You see, Jesus Christ is the King. He shows it not only through the words that he proclaims, but also through the miracles that he performs and his willingness to suffer for the sins of all mankind, to release us from captivity to sin, death, and from the power of the devil. You see, for the nation of Judah, there was good news even at the lowest point, because God was not only going to provide them with faithful shepherds, God was going to provide them a king who would literally rule forever. But see, just as these words applied to the nation of Israel then, they apply to you and me today. Because in much the same way, we resemble the people of Judah because we too have fallen short of God's glory. There are often times in our lives where we go wandering off on our own, thinking it's all good, I'm fine, and we find ourselves separated from the body of Christ as outsiders looking in. We desperately need a shepherd to stand before us and call sin for what it really is, sin. You know, this congregation was founded in the year 1909 by some Germans from Russia. And Pastor Bader was the pastor at the time. And he proclaimed that word of truth day after day after day. And since that day, many men have filled this pulpit and the one down at 8th and D when it was still the church, proclaiming God's word, always pointing to his word of promise, always reminding people of who they are and the sins they committed and the righteousness that is found in Christ alone. My dear friends, not much has changed then till today. Still today, God has called me to proclaim his word of truth to you. Now, mind you, there'll be times when that word is pretty scathing. There'll be times you'll get a little bit of a chuckle. But most importantly, I want you to be comforted by the promises that God has made for you. In spite of your sins, in spite of the times when you are caught up in the sinful world in which we live in, and you find yourself has wandered away from God and his promises, he is always there to assure you of his love and forgiveness for you. As the prodigal father, or the son of the prodigal son, would welcome him back home in spite of all he had done, the Heavenly Father welcomes you back. He encourages you. How do I know? Because he provides a shepherd. A shepherd who, as his service began, acknowledged the forgiveness of your sins as you confess before God, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." You acknowledged who you are. But God wanted to make sure that you knew that your sins were forgiven. In a few moments, you and I will be led to that still water and that green pasture as we receive the very flesh and blood of Christ the crucified. Not only to forgive our sins, but to strengthen our faith as we live our lives out in the sin-filled world in which you and I live. So today I want to remind you of who you are. You are sheep in the pasture of God's fold. See, the reality is that God has placed over you an under-shepherd to continue to point you to Christ and his promises. And the promise I want to remind you of, especially this morning, is the fact that Jesus Christ has not only died for you, but he has risen that you may have life to the full. So no matter what challenges you face in life, and this morning I said, if it's physical or marital or financial or whatever the situation is, realize in the midst of that, you have a Heavenly Father that hears your voice when you cry to him. You have a Heavenly Father that sends that messenger to point you to Christ, and the forgiveness is found only in him. And you have a Heavenly Father who has prepared a place for you to dwell with him forever. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which sustains all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.